Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us, correcting us, inspiring us. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for, by your Holy Spirit, you have opened our eyes to see the realities of your truth, even the realities of your ways and your kingdom. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the authority in your name that is working in our lives. By the authority in your name, you have given us victories. By the authority in your name, you have made us more than conquerors. You have made us victorious over powers of darkness. You have made us to rule over our enemies. You have made us to oppress over our oppressors. Yeah, you have made us to oppress our oppressors by the authority in your name. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for these teaching classes we always have every Tuesday evening. We thank you, Lord, for how you have been helping us and equipping us and blessing us and edifying us through these teachings. We thank you for the spiritual growth and strength and fulfillment and establishment we have received through these teachings. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you give everyone who have been following these teachings since when we started, I ask that you give them grace to continually do these things that you have exposed unto us. Grace to remain faithful to your word. Grace to do what is right in your sight. Grace to allow these messages, these truths, these teachings, these revelations change our lives into better persons. Lord, give every one of us such grace in Jesus' name. I am praying for you that the purpose of this Tuesday Bible study classes shall be fulfilled in your life and calling and destiny in Jesus' name. I am praying for you that you will not miss the will of God for your life. I pray for you that you will not be disconnected from the plans of God for your life, calling, and destiny in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that as we will go into the teaching now, let your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, interpret and explain these words in every heart, in the best way everyone will understand. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And if you have been following the the topic we started several weeks ago, which was building a strong relationship with God. If you have been following that topic, you would have been blessed a lot. Yeah, and also you would remember that we just finished talking about hindrances to our relationship with God. So now I'm going to talk about our special relationship with God, which means that your relationship with God is a special one. Yeah, you know, when we say something is special, we mean that it's not like any other. We mean that that thing is unique. That thing is elegant or beautiful. That thing is what many people should desire. So when we say something is special, we mean that it has a lot of benefits, a lot of advantages, and it's something no one should ignore. Yeah, it's something everyone should crave for. Yeah, so I want to talk about how special our relationship with God is. That is the next point we are going into now. Your special relationship with God, our special relationship with God, or you can call it relationship with God is special, or God's relationship with us is a special one. Or you can say my relationship with God is a special one. Yeah. And anyhow you want to say it. Now under that point, I'm going to look at point A, or under that subtopic, there is point A, which is obedient believers are a blessed and chosen people. Obedient believers are a blessed and chosen people. Yeah. So in our relationship with God, if we are obedient, we will find out that we are blessed, and then we also realize that we are, you know, we are special. We are a chosen people. Yeah. So what it means is that you might not really know how blessed you are until you begin to obey God. You might not really know how special you are. Yeah, because to be chosen is to be special. For there are millions and billions of people all over the world or in the whole earth, and the grace of God found you. There are millions and billions of people who you are not better than. They are far better than you. But the grace of God found you. And God, not looking at your sinful ways, God set you apart unto himself. So that is special. The Bible says, many are called, but few were chosen. Yeah, few are chosen. So to be chosen is special. Because there are some people now, as I'm talking to you, they were born into a family who worship idols. They were born into a family who promotes false religion. They practice false religion. And up to now, as I'm talking, they have no opportunity to be saved. They are not born again, despite that they have had the gospel preached to them, but their souls have been so taken by the enemy that they had no chance to be saved. Yeah. But you were so privileged by God to hear the gospel and to receive the gospel and to believe it and to repent and to surrender to Jesus. And so it's a great privilege. So I see it as being special to be called out of darkness, to be separated out of majority who are on their road to hell and destruction, for you to be separated out of these multitudes of people unto Jesus is being special. Because Jesus himself said that, he said no one can come to him except the Father draws them. Yeah, Jesus said no one can come to him, no one can believe him except God draw that person. So which means that everyone that is born again today, everyone that is saved, everyone that is genuinely saved, it is God who draw them. It is God that draw those people unto himself. It's not because you want to be saved. It's because God helped you to be saved. So if God did not help us, none of us will believe the gospel. None of us will be saved. Yeah, I believe you get that. So the point I'm talking about here is that you are special. That's the point. The fact that you are a Christian, you are a genuine Christian. A Christian who has repented, a Christian who has been washed in the blood of Jesus, a Christian who has forsaken the way of sin, who have forsaken the way of this world and have turned to God, turned to Jesus. The fact that you are that kind of Christian means that you are special. Yeah, it means that you are blessed. It means that you are special, and then it means that you are blessed. Yeah, that is it. So, but many people don't see this. Many Christians, they don't know how blessed they are. They don't know how special they are because they are not faithful to God. They are not faithful to the truth that the Word of God has revealed to us. They are not obedient to God. That's why they did not, or they can't see how blessed they are. And they can't understand how special they are. Now, if you look at Exodus 19, verse 5. Yeah, since this is a Bible study, it is important that you have your Bible with you while we go through this teaching discussion. Yeah, Exodus 19, verse 5. I want to read it. And you will see how God spoke to the Israelites about this issue of obedience. Exodus 19, 19, verse 5. It says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto all people, for all the earth is mine. I'm going to read it again. Very interesting scriptural verse. It says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Hallelujah. So God attached that blessing to a condition, and that condition is, if you will obey my voice indeed, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. So there are, you can see with the way God spoke in this place, you can see that God is aware that there are millions and billions of people all over the world who want to experience divinity. God is aware that there are a lot of people all over the world who wants to experience the supernatural. He's aware that there are a lot of people all over the world who wants to be blessed. Yeah. But God spoke to these people, Israelites. He told them that even though I have chosen you and I made myself the God of Israel, I made myself your God, you still have to obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then I will now make you a peculiar treasure. So meaning that I will raise you up above every other person in the world. Yeah. So God is saying that if they obey him and keep his covenant, that he's going to make them his treasure, meaning that he's going to draw them closer than any other person in the world. He's going to reveal himself to them more than any other person in the world. Even the people in the Islamic religion, if you study their religion, I mean the Muslims, you will see that some of them, they still want to know God in their prayers. They are still praying and telling God, God, show us the way. God, show us the way. So they want to know God. Even the Buddhists, people who are into Buddhism, I don't know if that's the name they call it, people who worship Buddha or whatever they call it, and many other people like that, they have this desire to experience the supernatural. They have the desire in them to see God. Yeah, but because they have not obeyed the gospel, because they have not chosen the right path, because Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So some of these, you know, worshippers of other religion, they felt like the Christian pattern is too simple to worship God, or some felt that is a white man religion. So they feel like it's Oyinbo that brought Christianity and they want to use it to enslave us. Some felt like Christianity is a scam. Yeah, so some, they felt we can serve God through other religion. Yeah, but God is saying that anyone that will obey the gospel, anyone that will keep his covenant. And you know that we are no longer following the Old Testament as it is. Now we are following the covenant God established with us through Jesus Christ. We are part of the new covenant that was sealed through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, so God now is saying, even now, I'm trying to speak the message in this verse as it is. As it is in this dispensation of the new covenant. So God is saying now that if there are people now that are willing to obey his voice, just as he told them during the time of Moses, he's saying now that if there are people that are willing to obey his voice and to keep his covenant, that he is going to make them a peculiar treasure. He's going to draw himself closer to them, and he's going to draw them closer to himself. And he's going to bless them such that they will be above every other people on earth. Yeah, meaning that they will lead in every place they find themselves. Daniel and his three colleagues, the three Hebrews, they found themselves in Babylon. And Babylon, as at that time, is like a slave land, because all of them were captured and they were taken on exile as slaves to Babylon. Yeah, but these people, even in Babylon, they excelled. Why? Because they chose to obey the voice of God. You can read from Daniel chapter 1. You will understand what I'm saying. So these people, even in a strange land, in a land that is polluted with all manner of corruption, all manner of wickedness, all manner of sexual immoralities, all manner of idolatry, even in Babylon, these four people, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made up their mind to obey God. They made up their mind to please God. And God raised them above every other. The Bible says that they were 10 times better than the government officials in Babylon. They found them 10 times better, meaning that academically, God blessed them with a unique and exceptional wisdom that made them excel above others. So the same thing, if there are Christians today, or in the same vein, if there are Christians today who will obey God and who will keep his covenant, God is going to bless them, and God is going to raise them above others, especially above unbelievers that do not know him. So meaning that these Christians, they will know God more than the Buddhists, the what do you call them, the Muslims. They will know God because they have loved him. Yeah, God will be more attracted to them than the others. I believe you understand that. Yeah, so it says that it says in Exodus 19 verse 5, it says, "For all the earth is mine." So when we keep God's covenant, and you might ask that, what does it mean to keep God's covenant? To keep God's covenant means that you do your part of the agreement. God has done his own part. Now you do your own part. So how did God did his own part? He did his own part by sending Jesus into the world for your redemption, for your deliverance from sin, for your deliverance from the power of sin, which is your Adamic nature. Yeah, God did his own part to forgive your sins and to draw you closer unto himself. So now you must do your own part by obeying his word, obeying his instructions. You must do your own part by living for him. You must do your own part by deliberately denying yourself. You must do your own part by mortifying the deeds of your body, mortifying your flesh, meaning that you practically kill the desires of your body, and you know that the desires of your body is against the will of God. More than 90% of what our body wants is against the will of God. Yeah, so when you practically deny yourself, you are keeping the covenant. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. So when you practically obey God, you practically discipline yourself, you practically renew your mind, you practically fight temptations and overcome. Yeah, when you practically separate yourself from those ungodly, unholy relationships, when you practically separate yourself from the systems and standard and corruption of this world, you are keeping the covenant. So, and when you do this, the Bible says you will become a treasure in the sight of God, and God will raise you above every other person in the earth. Yeah, meaning that he will raise you above the heathens, the unbelievers. Yeah, so now let's look at another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. It says that God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people upon the face of the earth. Yeah, that is what that verse says. It says your relationship with God is a special one. So God has chosen you out of multitudes to place you, to make you more important than every other people out there who does not know him. Yeah, to me, I see it as a great privilege to be called by God and to be given this special treat. Yeah, it's just like how a husband would tell the wife that I'm taking you out to give you a special treat. So I feel like God decides to call Christians out of the world to treat them specially so that they can be a spectacle, so that they can be people that the world would want to be like. I mean, when God called you unto himself and he began to beautify your life, and everyone out there, they want to know that God that you are serving, yeah, that God that changed you. You were a drunkard before, and then this God suddenly changed your life and you are not drinking anymore. You were into fornication, adultery, and then you met this God and he changed your life, and you are not a fornicator anymore. You are not an adulterous person anymore. So the people of the world want to know which God can do that. Yeah, because they saw him do it in your life. Yeah, so that is how God wants to treat us as Christians. He wants to change our lives to the point that people begin to honor us. Unbelievers begin to honor us, and they begin to, you know, they begin to respect us, and they begin to praise our God or celebrate our God. Yeah, that's exactly what God is doing by converting people onto Christianity. Yeah, so you ask yourself the question, since I have met Christ, since I become a Christian, what changes have happened to me? Yeah, ask yourself that, since I became born again, what significant changes have happened to me that people can point, surely this man has met with God. Surely this man has experienced the power of God. Surely this man has been visited by God. Yeah, some people think it is when you show people that you have a car. Okay, before I met Jesus, I don't have a car. So now that I've met Jesus, look at my car. So some people think it's by physical blessings that you prove to unbelievers that you have met Jesus. Well, that is part of it, but that is not the real deal. That is not the main thing of being blessed. Yeah. The real, your soul is transformed. That's the real deal. Your soul is saved. That's the real deal of becoming a Christian. So it's not like I used to be very poor before I became a Christian, and now that I'm a Christian, I'm now rich. So you are showing unbelievers that now I am no longer in poverty because I met Jesus. Yeah. That is not the proof. It's not a valid proof of being a Christian. The valid proof is the fact that your soul is saved. It's the fact that the person you were before is not the person you are now. The valid proof of Christianity is in change of attitude, change of character, change of behavior, change of mindset, change of worldly perspective. The way you see the world has now changed. That's the valid proof of Christianity. It's not in physical blessings, though it goes with physical blessings. When you become a Christian, you have access to great blessings from God, which involves physical blessings like healings, deliverances, prosperity, and more. Yeah, even wealth. But they are not the proof of your Christianity. The proof is that you are not the person you used to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, the Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when the Bible says all things, the Bible is not talking about physical things. The Bible is talking about the manifestations of your Adamic nature, your sinful nature, like telling lies, stealing, fornicating, not being able to forgive people, and more like that. Yeah. So the Bible is saying that all those things have passed away, and now you are a new creature that don't do those things anymore. That's the proof of Christianity. So if that one is not there, any other proof you have is not valid. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If a change, a complete change of attitude, a complete change of character, a complete change of behavior has not happened in your life since you became a Christian, any other thing you are showing the world as your proof of Christianity is not valid. Yeah. I just want that to register in your mind. So the question I had was that, since you met with Jesus, has there been any significant change in your life? Especially in your character, attitude, and behavior. Yeah, have you really repented? Are you free from sin? Because some people, they are preaching a false gospel. Some preachers are saying that you can't be free from sin. How can you tell us that we can be free from sin? Yeah, they said everyone is a sinner. And they said it's God. It's only God that is pure. Yeah, so nobody can be free from sin. So if nobody can be free from sin, then why did Jesus die? Yeah, so if nobody can be free from sin, then that means nobody is making heaven. Yeah, because there is a standard by which you will make heaven. If you don't meet up with that standard, you can't make heaven. And to meet up with that standard is to be holy, completely free from sin. So those people that are preaching that it's not possible to be free from sin, that means they are saying that it's not possible for anyone to make heaven. So that is a false gospel. Now, I know that our perfection is not to be equal with that of angels. Angels have a high level of perfection. Yeah, than humans. Yeah, but according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So there is a perfection God is looking for every one of us. And we must attain that perfection. And God already made every requirement for us to attain that perfection. God is not a slave master. He's, or maybe I should say a taskmaster that is asking you to do what you cannot do. So if God says be holy, if Jesus says be holy, God is not trying to demand something from you that you cannot do. Yeah, so Jesus already gave us all the grace that is able to make us perfect. So all we need to do is to willingly embrace that grace, is to willingly do our own part by denying ungodliness. Yeah, by denying unrighteousness, by denying fleshly lust, by denying pride. Yeah. By denying ourselves. So when we do our own part, we will literally see ourselves in perfection. Yeah, because it is in the spirit that you'll be made perfect. So if you kill your fleshly desires and you will find yourself in the spirit. And it is in the spirit that you are perfect. So anyone that is living in the spirit, walking in the spirit, is pure and holy. Yeah. So the question is, since you met with Jesus, what are the significant changes that has happened to your soul, to your life, yeah, to your attitude, behaviors, character, yeah. So let us not talk about physical changes, like God answer your prayers, God give you miracles. Let's talk about your soul, yeah. What are the significant changes that has happened to your soul since you met with Jesus. So if you can't really, write out some changes, then it means you have not done your part of the covenant. It means you have not been faithful, you have not been true to your God. Yeah. And you have to repent before it's too late. Yeah. So my point is that if we do our own part of the covenant, which is obedience and walking in the spirit, denying the flesh, we will see that we are so blessed. You will practically see that you are so blessed. You will practically see that in Christ Jesus, you are so blessed and you are so special. And you will enjoy God, in a very great and wonderful way. Yeah, so that is what that scripture is talking about. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, it confirms the same thing. It says, thou art an holy people, a peculiar, special people. Yeah, so in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, it confirms that you are special people because, we are special people because we are holy people. And to be holy means that you have been separated from something unto God. That is what holiness is all about. Holiness means you have been separated from something unto God, something that defiles. Yeah, so if you have not been separated from something, that means you are not yet holy. If there are certain things you have not laid down since you met God, then you actually are not yet holy. So meeting Jesus or following Jesus or being a Christian is going to take a lot from you. If Jesus has not taken certain things from you, certain habits, certain character, certain attitude, then I don't consider you as holy. Or maybe I should say, the kingdom of God does not consider you as holy. So to be a Christian or to be holy is to have given up things that defiles, is to have cut off those things deliberately, not that somebody is trying to, talk you into it or force you to do it, but deliberately you cut yourself off from things that defiles. That is when you are holy. You cut yourself off from a job that is promoting sin and corruption. You cut yourself off from a relationship that is ungodly. You cut yourself off from habits, attitudes that are unclean. Yeah, so except Jesus has taken all these things from you, or maybe I should say, except that your love for Jesus, your love for God, has taken all these things that defiles from you, which many of you know the things that defiles in this world. Except Jesus has taken those things from you, you are not holy yet. For to be holy is to be cut off from many things and to be glued to God forever. Yeah. May the Lord help every one of you, including me, to meet up with the standard of God's holiness, even the standard of the holiness in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. So even in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, you will see where it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah. Also in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4, God was saying, thou wast precious in my sight. Yeah. So we are special people. We are, you know, peculiar people. After we have kept the covenant. Yeah. So God calling us unto himself, God is doing it in hope that you will choose him above any other thing. So if you really want to enjoy what it means to be special, what it means to be a peculiar treasure in the heart of God, just like Bible said David was a man after God's heart. So if you really want to enjoy that special treat from God, then you have to keep your part of the covenant. So when God called people unto himself, by sending, I do preach a lot. Even in our prayer sessions, I still preach a lot. Yeah. So if God is preaching to many people, he's doing it in hope that these people, when they come to him, when they sing the sinner's prayer and say, God, how do they say the sinner's prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you, come into my life, I repent, forgive me my sins. You know those sinners prayer. So God is calling people unto himself. In fact, God is healing people, he's delivering people, he's giving people miracles in hope that they will choose him above every other thing else, in hope that they will love him, in hope that they will surrender, become a holy God. He's doing everything he's doing. And let me tell you that fact. Some people ask questions like, why is God doing miracles in a church that they're... Why is God doing miracles in that kind of church? Their dressing is bad. Even God healed someone that dressed very bad of cancer. Why should God heal someone that is not living a holy life? Why should God bless someone with a miracle? Someone that is not pure? Why should God answer the prayer of someone that is not doing what is right in his sight? God is doing all these things in hope that they will choose him. In hope that they will become a holy people. So that was what God did to Israel. When God began to establish Israel, God called them. Yeah, God told them, you can read the book of Exodus. You will understand when God was establishing the nation of Israel. God told them, he said, you people, I know who you are stiff-necked people. He said, what I'm doing to you is not because of you. It's because of the covenant I made with your ancestors. He said, I appeared to Abraham, I appeared to Isaac, I appeared to Jacob, and I made covenants with them. And I love them so much, and I cannot, I can't hide that I love your ancestors. So he said, all the miracles I did to bring you out of Egypt, and even the miracles I did while you were going through the wilderness, You know, God told them that I did those things because of my covenant commitment to your ancestors, not because of you people, not because you people deserve it, because you people are stiff-necked people. That was what God keep calling the Israelites. You can read the Bible, you confirm what I'm saying. He kept calling them stiff-necked people. So many times God does these miracles in hope that the people who have partook of the miracles will become a holy people. So when they become a holy people, then they will now enjoy more of him. Yeah, but look at churches today. You will see that people are no longer interested in becoming a holy people. And that is why some don't even know the difference between the God of Christians and the God the Buddhists serve. Some don't know the difference between the God of Christians and the God the Muslims serve. Some don't know the difference between the God of Christians and the God the idol worshippers serve. They don't know the difference because they have not kept the part of the covenant. They have not kept God's covenant. They have not, you know, become a holy people. They have not cut off themselves from sin, from worldliness, from the pollution that is in this world, to cling to Jesus. So because they have not made that decision, that is why they don't really know how special this relationship with God we are talking about, how special it is. They don't really know how special God wants to treat them, because they have not done their own part. Yeah, because of pastors, they preach the gospel in a very sweet way, but they don't emphasize as they are preaching that people must do their own part of the covenant. Yeah, they say God loves you. I mean, those pastors, they say God loves you. God is going to forgive you. God is going to bless you. God is going to help you. But they don't tell the people that God wants you to be a holy people, just as he wanted Israel to be a holy people, to obey his commandments. So they don't say that. And that is why the people are confused. They don't know, they can't differentiate between miracles that are being done by magicians. You know, there are many magicians in churches today, many witchcraft agents performing miracles. And you would think it's the Holy Ghost that is performing those miracles, but it's not the Holy Ghost. So these people, they don't know the difference between the miracles God is doing and the magic the magicians are doing. Why? Because they have not drawn closer to God. They have not obeyed God's commandments. They have not separated themselves from sin and from the pollution of this world, the corruption of this world, the pride of this world. Yeah. So except we keep our part of the covenant by loving God. God loves us. We have to love him back. That's how you keep the covenant. You have to love him back. You have to obey him. You have to lay down your life and follow him. You have to live for him and not live for yourself anymore. So this is how we keep our part of the covenant. And except we do this, we will not know how special we are in God. Or maybe I should say, we will not experience the special treatment God wants to give us. And we will not even end up with God, because no sinner will make heaven. So you will not enjoy your relationship with God if you have not kept the covenant. If you have not done your own part of the covenant, you won't enjoy your relationship with God. You will not even know how much God loves you and cares for you. You will think God don't love you because you prayed some prayer, he has not answered. You will think he does not love you because you have not really determined to live all your life for him. You have not crucified your flesh. You will not know that he really loves you. You will not know. You will think it's just like other gods out there that that frustrate people's lives and make people's lives worse. Because some people, they will come and tell me, they say, Pastor, since I've been praying and fasting, since I've been doing what God wants, life has been hard. So I don't even know what God wants from me anymore. Yeah, so they feel like God is punishing them. So they feel like being a Christian is a failure. Yeah, so they feel like that because they have not really known God. Yeah, they have not known God. If they know God, yeah, they will not even think like that, because it's not the way they think it is. I don't want to speak much on that part. I want to focus on the topic. So now, if you read John chapter 15, verse 16, you will also see where Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or special people. Yeah, so your relationship with God is a special relationship. Very sweet, very powerful, very unique, very glorious, very great. So your relationship with God is too costly. Yeah, it's too costly. Costlier than gold, costlier than silver. Your relationship with God is too costly than billions and billions or trillions or quadrillions. I don't know how they measure those money. So we have billions and billions and trillions, all of that. Your relationship with God is too costlier than billions of billions of billions of money. Yeah, if you think it's not so costly, it's because you have not known God yet. Yeah, because some people, just give them some amount of money and tell them to tell them to renounce their faith in God. They will just quickly, because of money, renounce their faith. Now, some, the devil will not tell them, or the devil will not tell them, renounce your faith. Devil will just tell them, stop believing this that is in the Bible. Stop preaching this. Stop believing this. So if you can do that, we are giving you billions of money. You just don't preach this anymore. Don't practice this anymore. That, you know, this thing that is in the Bible. Don't preach it anymore. Don't practice it anymore. Don't believe it anymore. And then we are giving you billions or millions. You will see some pastors and some Christians immediately stop preaching those truths and stop practicing those truths. That tells you that they don't know how expensive their relationship with God is. Yeah, so your relationship with God is too special, too costly, too expensive than anything in this world. Yeah, if I don't really know God, maybe I would have, you know, compromised and embraced certain things in this world. Yeah, which means you won't be hearing me preach like this again. You won't even meet me here that I am now. I would have, you know, gone astray. Yeah, but I thank God that He gave me wisdom, because the more I sought God, and the more I have found Him, the deeper I have gone in Him, I realized that only a fool, yeah, and a bastard, we put God aside and run after certain things in this world. Yeah, that's what I realize. That only a fool will consider some things in this world more important than relationship with God. Yeah. Only a fool will do that. Yeah. So your relationship with God is not something anything should replace. It's not something anyone should replace. It's not something your job should replace. Yeah, it's so. I don't know other adjectives, other English adjectives that I can use to describe it. Yeah, it's something that you can't afford to lose it. Yeah, the only thing you can do to me as I am now that's going to, you know, destabilize my life, frustrate my life, is to do something to my relationship with God. That's the only thing you can do. Yeah, you can take every other thing from me. I will still be happy and peaceful. But just do anything to my relationship with God, then I don't see reason to live anymore. Then my life is, you know, my life is shattered. Yeah, because that is all I value in life, relationship with Him, with God. So the same way every one of us, the same way we have to live. You have to see your relationship with God even the way I have just explained it. Yeah, Jesus gave a parable. He said, the kingdom of God is likened to a man who found a precious material in a field, a treasure in a field. And that man went to sell everything he had to buy that field. Yeah, he said the kingdom of God can be likened to that. So until your relationship with God becomes so valuable like that you are willing to give up your life for it, to give up everything in this world for it, yeah, then is when you start enjoying God. Yeah, that is when you will now understand how specially God loves you until you do that sacrifice. If you don't do that, you will still not understand how specially God loves you. Yeah, that is the truth. That is the truth. So let me look at the time. Okay. It's already over an hour. Yeah. Let me quickly run through, or maybe I should just mention this next point, which is point B. Then during the next class, I will explain that one in details. Point B says that Jesus bought us, and this means we belong to him. Jesus bought us, and this means that we belong to him. Jesus bought us, we belong to him, and that is redemption. Redemption means that you were owned by someone. You were owned by someone, and then someone more powerful than that person who has ownership and possession of your life. Someone very powerful came upon that man, defeated that man, and now take you for himself. So that is redemption. Yeah. That is redemption. So it's not like redemption is not like Jesus went to the dead, Jesus went to Satan, and Jesus was begging him, please release the children you have in your captivity, because they are mine. No, Jesus was not doing that. And it's not as if it was not like Satan gave a price, just like kidnappers do today. They kidnap someone and then they give a price. They said, bring 15 million naira. And then when you bring this money, we are going to release your child or your relative. Yeah, it's not like that. It's not like Satan gave a price and said, Jesus, until you pay this price, I will not release these people unto you. No, it wasn't like that. Our redemption means that Jesus gained more power and more authority through God to set free from the captivity of Satan people that have been enslaved for years or centuries. Yeah. For thousands of years, including the unborn children. So Jesus gained more power. He gained authority, or maybe I should say, he gained the power, he gained the authority to take those people out of their captivities. He gained power, authority, dominion to deliver those people from the captivity of sin, captivity of the flesh, of the Adamic nature, captivity of Satan and demons and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and even captivity of sicknesses, diseases, and poverty. So Jesus gained the power and the authority to set men free from everything that has enslaved them, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Yeah, so that is redemption. So and Jesus did this for us. And the covenant is that Jesus did this so that you now should no longer live for yourself, but should now live for Jesus. Yeah, so that's the agreement. That's the covenant. Jesus set you free. So now you have to serve him. So he bought you with that price, with dying on the cross. That was how he gained the power and the authority to set you free. So he paid that price. So now you should no longer live for yourself. You should now live for the one that redeemed you, the one that have redeemed you, the one that have delivered you. Yeah, you should now live for him. So that is how you keep the part of the agreement. Yeah, so and that is how much he loved you to give up his life for you. So the only way you can live is to live for him and not for yourself. Now, some people have asked questions like, what does God want from me? Why is the standard of God so high? Why must I do this to please God? God is asking too much from me. The standard of God is so high. So why can't God just, you know, why can't God free me? Yeah. It is because they don't understand redemption. And they don't understand that God is doing them good by asking them to live for him. Because when those people were living for themselves, devil was ruling over their lives and destinies. But now God is saying, stop living for yourself, live for me, please me, serve me, so that you can be free, and so that you can even now enjoy life better. Yeah. So everything Jesus did for us, I believe is for our own good. That's what I have found out. Yeah, is for your good. Not that God is in need of. It's not as if God is lonely in heaven. So he wants some people to be around him. It's not like that. Yeah, it's not as if God has something and he needs people. So if God needs people, the angels in heaven, they are enough to do anything he wants for him. So everything God did in redemption is for our benefit. More than 90%, in fact, 100% is for our benefit. It's to save us from our darkness, our inner darkness that is destroying our souls. So God did it to save us from our darkness. Yeah, so that we can be free. Yeah. So those people that are saying, what did God want from me? The standard of God is too high. And the reason is that God don't want to judge you. He don't want to destroy you. He wants you to be pure, to be righteous. That's why he's helping you to be pure and righteous, so that he will not have to judge you, because he is your creator and he can't tolerate evil. Yeah, so that you can even know what life is, and you can now enjoy the real life. Because people that think they're enjoying life now, they are enjoying death, not life. It is after you have surrendered to Jesus and you start living for him that you will now understand what real life is. And that is when you now enjoy the real life. So the life that many people are enjoying in the world today is not life, it's death they're enjoying, because they are all on their way to destruction. So everything Jesus did for us is still for our benefit. So when Jesus said, live for me, it's still for your benefit. Yeah. It's for your good. I tell you the truth. You can sit down and meditate on these things I have said. You realize that everything God is asking from you, live holy, live righteous, everything is for your good. I tell you the truth. It's for your good. That was why in the scripture Joshua told those people, he said, I put before you life and death. Choose life and live, or choose death. Meaning that obey God and live. Disobey God and you will die eventually. In fact, some people, they are the ones killing themselves, not even Satan. Yeah, because of the lifestyle they have chosen, they are the one even killing themselves. Yeah, so there is nothing as precious and treasurable as the gospel. Yeah, even the gospel I'm preaching, and I've been preaching or teaching. Yeah, there's nothing as precious as that. And so I pray that God will give you more understanding. Yeah, and that he will deliver you from yourself and from the power of sin, so that you can fully know what life is. So that you can fully know what life is, and you can enjoy him, because he is life, and in him is the most glorious life you can ever imagine. You will find it in him. Yeah, so that you can fully, yeah, thank you for the scripture, you can fully know what life is. And you can fully enjoy that life with him. For it is the best life ever. I have compared it. I have been deep in darkness. And now I am deep in the light. So I know the difference. So look, as I am now, nobody can deceive me. Yeah, I know the difference. I know what death is. And I know what life is. I've been there. Yeah, so no one can deceive me. So I wish that the Lord will open you. You will know what to do now, so that you can always have this eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. We thank you for this hour of teaching. Thank you for how you have opened our eyes to see the wonders of your love. We thank you for teaching us that you are ready to give us a special treat. You are ready to give us special relationship with you if we will keep your covenant, if we will keep your words. Lord, we thank you for this great privilege you have given unto us. We thank you, O Lord, for even redeeming us while we were yet sinners. You came to die for us. We thank you, O Lord, for the redemption you have given to us. We thank you for the victory we have. We thank you for the salvation we have. We thank you for the deliverance we have through your redemption, through your redemption plans, through your redemption operations. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for everyone that have had this teaching. I pray that you help everyone to do what is right. I pray that you help everyone to acknowledge that this gospel is true, and to do their own part of the covenant. Lord, help every one of us to do this perfectly and completely and accurately in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every cloud of deception upon your soul, I pray that they be destroyed by fire of the Holy Ghost. Name. Henceforth, you will not walk in darkness. Henceforth, you will walk in the light. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered these prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going to stop here, so we'll continue next Tuesday. Remain blessed. Amen.
Goodbye.